All right. It's 4 o'clock, so we'll call this meeting of the Story County Board of Agenda to order. Roll call vote, please.
McGill.
Here.
Brecky.
Here.
Neubauer.
Here.
Youngberg absent.
All right. In front of you, you've got the agenda for today's meeting. Do I hear any additions or subtractions? If not, we'll leave the agenda as submitted. Also in front of you, you have the minutes from our previous meeting. Any additions or subtractions to it? If not, I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make a motion. We accept them.
Seconded.
Motion out of Brecky, a second out of Neubauer. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Also in front of you, you got the findings of fact from our previous meeting for the Roland Vet Clinic, CUP 0719. Do I hear any additions, any changes to that?
Motion to accept the findings of fact as submitted.
I'll second.
We have a motion out of Neubauer, a second out of Brecky. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Okay. Moving on, we have a piece of business, election of a vice chair with the resignation of
Lynn Scarlett.
That means we're looking for a vice chair. So, do we hear any nominations?
I can look at a vice chair. I can look at a vice chair. All he has to do is say he accepts, right? And then we vote.
Yeah, there's only three of us here. This is
it's kind of got a 50-50 chance here.
So are you nominating Mr. Neubauer?
I am.
Okay. We have a nomination. I'm chair, but I will second that nomination. Will he accept the position of the vice chair?
As long as I get a lot of help when you're not here.
Do you hear that, Mr. Brecky?
There's only so much up there, but I'll do my best.
We'll work it out. We've got a good staff also. We'll get you through it. All right. Moving on from that, we probably should have a vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Okay. Public comment. Just before we get into this, I'll explain a little bit on how our meeting works. We've got some people out here in the audience. If you have it, by the way, please sign in when you come in the door. We will basically open the floor up to comments on anything that's happened prior to today's meeting. If it doesn't have a specific item on the agenda that we're going to address today, we'll cover that when we get to it. If you want to say anything, we'd also ask that you move to the podium, state your name, address, so we've got it for the record. Also try to hold your comments to 10 minutes if possible, and so we can keep the meeting moving along. After we've done with that, we'll move into discussing the cases that we have in front of us this afternoon. We'll have the staff give their presentation, accept any comments from the audience, any rebuttals after that, and if not, then we'll close the meeting and we'll hand you a decision. We'll debate here with the group, and we'll hand you a decision. One thing I will point out this afternoon, board, there's only three of us here, so that means that we have to have everybody in agreement to pass anything. So, any questions before we move on? If not, any public comments on anything? Hearing none, we'll move on to our first item. I believe it is a staff memo on the shadow flicker. Comments from the staff, etc.
Right. That's my item.
Okay.
I want to thank Jeffrey Bryce, who's here from NextEra Energy. He's available to answer any questions. He and Kimberly Dickey have been very helpful with the submittal that they made. Anytime we've had questions about anything, they've been very, very helpful and responsive. So staff greatly appreciates that. At the June 19th Board of Adjustment meeting, the request, which was CUP 0519, to convert 100 existing wind energy systems, which was Story County Wind LLC, that was thoroughly reviewed by the Board of Adjustment. Jeffrey brought with him an entourage of team members to assist with questions that the Board of Adjustment had and the general public, and that was greatly appreciated. So the project itself, again, was CUP 05-19. It was approved by the Board of Adjustment on June 19. It was a request to convert 100 existing wind energy systems, and what they're doing is changing out the rotors or the blades, gears, and the generators in the nacelle portion of the systems. So the item that's before you today is shadow flicker issue. Our ordinance states that you take the height of the proposed wind energy system times 10, and if it extends to a dwelling, there's a requirement that they do a shadow flicker analysis, which they brought with them, their consultant that did that work. The report that was provided showed that there was 21 dwellings that were potentially impacted or could be impacted by shadow flicker. Our ordinance, for the most part, allows for a total maximum exposure of 30 hours per year. Actual exposure, though, of not more than 10 hours per year with regard to dwellings, schools, hospitals, churches, and public libraries. And so in this area, which we're in the northeast part of the county, we're in Warren, Lincoln, Sherwin townships, and so for the most part we're impacting dwellings. So our ordinance allows for a maximum of 10 hours of exposure, shadow flicker exposure, or the applicant is required to work out an agreement with the landowners. And at the June 19th meeting, again, there was 21 total dwellings that were determined to be impacted. They reached agreement with 11 of those property owners and requested, through a condition, which I'll go through, that the Planning and Zoning Commission supported and ultimately the Board of Adjustment supported, to allow a tabling or an extension to address those where they were working on agreements but they hadn't been reached yet. So again, the Board of Adjustment approved the CUP 0519 with seven conditions. The condition that we're dealing with today is the condition that deals with shadow flicker and basically states all negotiations with property owners shall be completed or the applicant shall provide documentation that the county's regulation will be met regarding shadow flicker prior to the Board of Adjustment acting on the conditional use permit. There was also some variances with regard to setback from a few of the adjacent common lot lines as well as the right-of-way, which were also addressed at the June 19th meeting. And then there was the provision that allowed the applicant to request a tabling for those situations where they hadn't reached an agreement yet. And so there were 10 that were requested for an extension. So that's what's before you today. Agreements have been reached with these landowners, Linneman, Casey Jones, Jason Schuler, Dave and Sandra Olson, Ronald Olson, Legte, Chamalden, Aller, and Gardner Family Revocable Trust. So it's those 9 of the 10. This gives you an approximate location of where those property owners are. They're in the northern portion of this 100 system area, and they're in two separate townships. And then They are working out agreements still, shadow flicker agreements with two landowners, Mr. Greiner, Arlen Greiner, and Alan Nafis. And we have letters that we posted to the Agenda Center where they're asking to do that work, but they've indicated that they'll meet our requirements, which is consistent with the condition three that we put together that was supported by the Planning and Zoning Commission and acted on by the Board of Adjustment. So that brings us to the recommendation, which is planning staff is recommending that the Board of Adjustment approve the conversion projects affecting these nine property owners. The shadow flicker agreements have been reached between the property owner and Next Era Energy. And again, they also submitted the letters acknowledging that they will meet the county's shadow flicker requirements, but they are still pursuing working on reaching an agreement with Mr. Greiner and Mr. Nafis. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that you have. As I mentioned, Jeffrey Bryce is here also with Next Era Energy.
So did the regulations change, or why is this an issue if it wasn't the first go around?
There was an amendment on shadow flicker that came after the units were constructed in 2008 or 2009.
Okay.
And so this is something that they're going to have, that they're required to address with the change outs that they're doing.
Are these bigger then?
Yeah, most of the rotors are about 77 meters, and they're installing two different types or two different sizes, 87 meter and 91 meter. So it's about a 50-50. And one of the questions that was asked from the general public was, you know, where they come from, and there's different manufacturing facilities within the U.S. that they'll be shipped from to the site.
So this is obviously, when you change it out, it's not looked at maintenance. This is a choice because of better efficiency, or?
I'll let Jeffrey address that.
I'll jump up.
Yeah. Unless you have more questions for staff.
No, no, that's fine. Yeah.
Thank you, Director Jeff Bryce at Next Era Energy, 700 University Boulevard, Jupiter Beach, Florida. So the question of efficiency, yes. Over the past 10 years, there's been great improvements in not only the design, but the manufacturing of the blades. So this was a good exercise to come in and swap out the older technology for a newer technology with the blade design and allow for increased efficiency on site. To Jerry's point as well, when the site was originally constructed, there were no shadow flicker regulations on the books for Story County. When we proposed this repower maintenance exercise, after speaking with staff, we determined that we needed to meet the current siting guidelines and regulations of Story County. That was the requirement to go out and meet with our landowners, the 21 that were identified for shadow flicker. We met with those folks. We identified the numbers that our modeling showed in the increase. There were a number that were already over the threshold of today with the current technology, and there would be a measurable increase with the new technology. We sat with all those landowners. We walked through all those numbers with them, and we submitted those agreements to the county for record. For the two that are still left outstanding, the reason we came in tonight not without having those additional two is we didn't want to hold the board up anymore. It had already been about 3 months since we were here last. We decided to go ahead and move forward, come in, get the rest of those waivers off the books. And then for the additional two, we submitted letters saying that we will adhere to the current regulations of the maximum 30 hours or the 10 hours exposure until an agreement is in place. At such time, if that agreement is in place, we'll come back one last time in front of the board.
So how does the 10 and 30 work?
So it's the way it's modeled. It's kind of a glass house. This modeling is put on by our contractors that do it. So in a real world scenario, they say, hey, the maximum, if the weather conditions were always perfect, if it was always sunny and the sun was always blowing in the exact right position, then you would theoretically see a maximum of 30 hours. Versus real world conditions, and when we measure it and what the current site did, we need to make sure that we don't exceed that 10 hours of an operating year. It's a tough subject to wrap your head around. Usually we bring the PhDs with us to explain that part.
So does that mean that for these final two properties, the sites that the towers that impact them, you're just basically limited to certain times of day or the amount or you can't run them?
So we will, when the weather conditions are adequate to cause shadow flicker on those homes that exceed the maximums, those turbines will be throttled more or less to reduce that exposure on those homes.
That's interesting technology.
That was my next question. So there is a way to throttle it back, and then does that allow you 30, or you still have to stick with the 10?
We have to hit both. So it's a two-strike policy. So thankfully the sun is very predictable, and we can judge the weather patterns every morning. So through the algorithms that the site has at our operations building, they can run and see if the site, if those particular turbines would need to be curtailed to limit to these cycles.
So when you're there with heavy equipment, you don't have to skip two turbines. You can do everything.
Correct.
Even if you don't have the approval yet.
Right, and the only reason for the approval would be to exceed those 30 hours. So we can only exceed the 30 or the 10 hours on the homes that have granted these waivers. Okay. Everybody else for the project either came in under the threshold, and all that modeling was submitted in your approval packets back in June. So either they're under the threshold or they've granted a waiver to allow us to exceed the threshold.
And Randy, if you're interested, all that information still should be posted on the Agenda Center for that meeting.
Okay, board, what do you think?
I just thank you for your time. No further questions.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I apologize. I wasn't here for that meeting.
It was exciting.
I move that we adopt the staff's recommendation.
Mayor, second?
I'll second that.
Motion and second. All in favor, roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving ahead. Let's see, we've gone to the elections. Next on the agenda is the CUP 919 Story County Animal Control. Marcus.
Evening, board. So today, this conditional use permit is for the communications tower at the Story County Animal Control Center. The Story County Animal Control Center is located at 975 West Lincoln Highway. It kind of sits down in a valley, which is the main reason for needing this tower. It would be a 75-foot tall non-commercial communications tower. It's already on. It would be on Story County property, and it would provide better communications for the animal control department. As of right now, they don't have access to everything that we have here. They're kind of limited based on what services they have. This system will also allow them to use the four-digit dialing that we have on our phones currently in the admin building and at the building in Ames. So the problem is the site sits low and there's no line of sight that they initially thought they would have with the existing tower that they put just on top of animal control. There's some images to show that. This will rectify that problem. And the Board of Supervisors authorized this project on 8/6 of this year. So that is where animal control is at the Star. So the proposal is to put the 75-foot tower on the west edge of animal control. Here's the floodplain. It's just outside of where the flood mapping goes to. So here's a image of the kit design that this is used in for this project. This has been stamped by an Iowa licensed engineer. So what they do is they take as many sections as they need and build it based on the height requirements. And these kits have been approved in the state of Iowa now. This is a site plan that was provided to us. The proposed tower will be just south of the big overhead door on the back of the animal control building, so they'll still have access to that. Kind of hard to see in that image, but there is a small pole right there. That was what they were trying to use to communicate back. After that was installed and attempted to use it, it was realized that it didn't cross the tree line, and because of it sitting down in the valley, it wasn't able to be used. This is facing northwest at the animal control, facing the east, southeast, looking at the to show where the power lines sit on the south side of Lincoln Highway. Again, another proposed where the proposed tower would sit. As far as compatibility, non-commercial towers are permitted in the commercial industrial district, which is where animal control lies. The proposed site is already county-owned property, and all setback requirements are going to be met. So the setback requirements for this kind of tower is 115% of the tower height, which is 75 feet, so that comes out to 86.25 feet. As you can see from those numbers, it is within those setback requirements. Part of that, the building will buffer the tower, and then the trees that surround on the east, west, and south side will also offer buffering from the neighboring properties. As far as traffic, the only traffic would be for the initial construction and maintenance of this. And during construction, no parking or materials will be placed in the right-of-way. Since the height of this tower is only 75 feet, it does not require any lighting, and no signs were proposed for it. And the environmental impact to the site is anticipated to be limited. So the board concludes that all the above development criteria will be met, must recommend approval of the application, unless it is concluded that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that the development will impact one of these 5 points in a negative way. So we did send this out for interagency review. If you have any questions about the questions we asked or that the interagency brought up, I can go over those with you. Public notices were mailed on August 27th to property owners within a quarter mile. We did not receive any comments back from that. Environmental health was comment was to not drive on the laterals. So some points to consider: the applicant addressed the need for the tower to improve communication. The site sits lower than the adjacent properties, and towers should not be out of character based on the use of the property and nearby electric utility poles. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval based on the applicant's submittal and responses to county staff questions on the conditional use permit application as put forth in case CUP 09-19 with a 4-0 vote. And the Board of Adjustment can go with Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation or choose from one of the four options. If you have any questions. Yep.
Yeah. So What's the main reason for this? I mean, I know it's communication, but a phone isn't...
Well, phone, internet, they don't have as... And Barb is here to answer questions if need be. They don't have the communications capabilities back to all the systems that we have here at the admin building. So access to all the hard... all the data that we have.
So this is like a network connection, mm-hmm. basically, to get back here.
Right. It's a line of sight.
And from looking at the setbacks, it's the tower will be... You don't have to worry about the fall zone, so to speak.
Right. That's the point of the 115% of the tower, is so that...
Okay.
If there is an issue with fall, if it fell, within the property itself.
Okay.
I read that it had footings, but I didn't read that they were... certified or any
yes.
borings. I'm assuming that was the case.
Yeah. And in that drawing, that packet, it shows the footings that they would use. There's different, depending on how high they're going to go, it just depends on the footing that it would end up needing.
There was one question that was asked in there, and I didn't scroll through it too quickly.
Okay.
Are they using any guy wires?
No.
Okay.
It's freestanding.
All right.
When they're doing a tower like this, do they anticipate a larger tower down the road so they can just, I mean, footing-wise, it's pretty inexpensive. I feel like if I was...
There's no room for anything taller
because
than
of setbacks.
That. Because of the setback. The setback is 86.25 feet for this tower. That's 75 feet high. And they're, especially on that west side, they're max, I mean, they're mm-hmm. a foot from that setback, so.
So this will tower how high above the existing little?
It's probably 20, it's probably 20, double,
yeah,
about double that height.
About double.
And this will be solely for the animal.
It's non-commercial.
There won't be any co-location. There might be interest, but there is no intent to have any other carrier or user use that.
Okay.
Just curious, is it the same equipment, ultimately, that's on the existing tower that's not high enough? Just moving that to a taller mm-hmm. location.
Okay. Questions... from the floor? Additions? Okay. If not, we'll close and deliberate. What do you think, Board? Unless you have any other questions. Now I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we accept the number one for the CUP 09-19 as submitted.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All in favor, roll call vote.
Brecky.
Aye.
Neubauer.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye. Very good. All right, we move on. Let's see, in front of us now we have variance 0419. Friend various requests, Marcus Ahmed. Back up.
Oh, yeah. All right, so now in front of you is the variance request VAR 04-19 for friend front setback. The applicant is here today, Andrew Friend. The address where this variance is being requested is 16117 550th Avenue at Story City. And it's located in the northeast of Section 2, Township 84, Range 24. And it is 1.875 miles northeast of Gilbert. I did reach out to them with this information. They did not offer a response back to me. So what Friend is requesting here is a 33-foot variance request from the required 50-foot setback down to 17 feet in for a setback. The dwelling will be, so from all of this, The dwelling will still be 46 feet from the western edge of 550th Avenue. The septic system on the property provides a unique set of circumstances. It surrounds the property on the northeast and west side. It surrounds the dwelling on the northeast and west side. So he's limited into where he can build. They purchased the property in 2013. That same year the septic system was put in, how it is now prior to them purchasing the home, or the property. The dwelling was built in 1930, and is the oldest in the vicinity, with the next oldest house being built in 1970 after zoning was adopted for the county. So it kind of shows the difference between the two. The road that this sits on, 550th, is gravel road with an average daily count of 120 vehicles. Highway 69 is the next major road to the west there, and that has 4,700 vehicles a day on it. Due to the septic system and recent improvements to the home on the second floor, the south side of the home isn't able to be built on. There's also a well 140 feet south of that that kind of puts constraints on what they can build there. So kind of here's the vicinity map. Gilbert city line or corporate limits is right there's the corner of it. It's kind of more a close-up aerial map. This is the closest dwelling. This one was built in 1990. And then 1970 was up here. It is outside of the floodplain. Here's a recent aerial of the front property. This was taken this year. Okay. So currently, this is the dwelling. This black line is the required 50-foot front setback. As you can see, the house encroaches into that. This black line is what that 17-foot setback from the right-of-way would meet to the existing deck that's on the dwelling, which is roughly the footprint of what this addition aims to be, is within the footprint of this deck and this concrete patio area right here. So you're just from the south looking north at the dwelling. There's the deck on the dwelling. That's where the addition would come to, plus or minus a couple of feet. You kind of see the concrete patio area that comes around and connects to that deck area. So that's, again, that area where this dwelling is being proposed on the north side. And kind of looking at this same area a little bit closer up, on the south side of the dwelling, looking west, over here on the other side of the laterals that run along the helm is the greenhouse that's being built. So this is what causes the unique circumstances for the Friends. Septic system and laterals, four laterals, two on either side of the home, limit where he can build. And moving a septic system is very cost prohibitive. So for the variance, the legal principles here, all these legal principles have to be satisfied in order for the Board of Adjustment to grant a variance. Finding a there's a finding of unnecessary hardship. The land in question cannot yield reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. The plat of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not to general conditions in the neighborhood that may reflect the unreasonableness of the ordinance itself. And the use of the to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. And outside of that is granting the variance will not be contrary to public interest and the spirit and intent of Story County Development Plan and Story County Land and Development Regulations are protected. So going into this, first four finding of a necessary hardship is that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if only used for the purpose allowed in the zone. So dwelling as it sits right now lacks three main features of any modern home. First floor bathroom, a large first floor master bedroom, and a main floor laundry area. Compared to the other homes in the area that have these modern features, their home does not have that, which limits down the road if they were to ever want to sell the property. People would be able to look at the other homes very nearby with those features. Then that with the septic system and the recent renovations to the upstairs, building onto the south of the home would have to remove the dormer that's on the south facing side of the home or dwelling, which was just renovated as part of that upstairs renovation. So then again, under the finding of necessary hardship, the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances. The septic system that surrounds the house was not put in by the friends. It was put in prior to them purchasing the home, the parcel. Adding or attempting to move that septic system will add significant cost to the project. The use to be authorized the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. Due to its location on not a heavily trafficked gravel road, from those aerials, if you notice, there's a barn that's very near the right-of-way. And this would fall still further away than where that barn currently sits. So would not be affecting the essential character of the locality. It also would still continue to fit in with the rest of the homes in the area. So then granting the variance will not be contrary to public's interest. So 17 feet separation on top of the existing right-of-way will grant 46 feet from the western edge of 550th Avenue. Speeds of the vehicles driving in that area are generally going to be slower since it is a gravel road with an intersection, a three-way intersection, 660 feet to the north. The closest dwelling is 1,000 feet to the south. That dwelling also has a large, mature windbreak established on the north side of it, which would help to block the view from each dwelling, so it wouldn't be as noticeable, and it would allow them to update their dwelling to meet the needs of their family without a significant financial impact of moving the dwelling, constructing a new dwelling, or moving the septic system to another part of the property. And that the spirit and the intent of the C2C and Story County Land Development Regulations are protected. The property is designated Ag Conservation Service. The primary land use of the subject parcel is the residence, which has been on the property since 1930. Due to the location of the property in the rural setting, anticipated lower speeds of vehicles, large agricultural properties surrounding and nearby single-family dwellings on large parcels. All these items contribute to the meeting the spirit and intent of the ordinance and the C2C plan. So these were the comments that we received from the interagency review. Overall, there was 16 comments between other departments and then things that we asked of the friend family. Stark County Environmental Health and Mr. Friend did have some discussions about the septic system and what the proposed addition to the home would mean for the septic system. He does understand that any updates to the house, if it needs or if it forces a change in the septic system, he will have to possibly increase the tank size or extend the laterals further. And he understands that. Have any questions about any of the questions that we asked, I can happily go over those with you. And then as far as the south side of the home, with the roof line, we had asked why, kind of more in depth, why that side couldn't be added on in greater detail. And if the roof line were to be changed, they would have to take on the whole south side of that home, which would then have to remove that dormer where the updates were just produced or completed. And then in order to not do that, you'd have to use a shed style roof, which wouldn't be conducive to the area and be more detrimental to the architecture in the area. We have points to consider here for you. The project is necessary to add amenities that are common and essential for daily lives found in most single-family dwellings now. The proposed layout adequately separates active living spaces from bedrooms and bathroom areas. Due to the nature of the year that the dwelling was built in 1930, there was no zoning ordinance in place for setbacks and explains its current location. The dwelling currently is located inside that front setback by 18 feet with approximate front setback of 32 feet. The proposed dwelling addition would still be 46 feet from the western edge of 550th Avenue. The traffic is limited there, like we discussed. The cost of building the addition to the dwelling in the northeast area would be substantially less, with no impacts to the septic system or the well. The nearest dwelling is over 1,000 feet to the south. That dwelling was constructed in 2010. And has a setback of 85 feet. The existing character of the area of the property is a mix of few residential dwellings on large lots and adjacent parcels in row crop production. With that planning and development, staff are recommending approval of variance request application as put forth in case VAR 04-19 with the following condition: that the septic system will be upsized and laterals extended as needed per environmental health standards. As always, there are the four different options that the board can recommend, but we are recommending option two.
Approval with that condition.
Yeah, question. Can you go back to there was a picture back there that showed the laterals coming up.
Yep,
going down. So, So is the addition is going on
right here in this area.
So the road is to the top of this picture.
The road is here. 550th is here.
So you're seeing the footprint of the main portion of the house, and then to the north is like an entryway. To the east side is that existing deck. And then, like Marcus said, the dark lines represent the laterals. Okay.
So they go parallel to the road. And
There's two parallel. There's two laterals here and two laterals over here.
And then the septic's on the south side because of that dormer.
So there's the dormer. The dormer there. That was just recently. You can kind of see it in that too. That was just recently part of the renovations to the upstairs, and significant cost was incurred up there.
Okay. So the laterals are there, they're just extending them?
And I will come down to discussions with Margaret from the Environmental Health Director. Once they've decided if this is approved, once they've finalized their plan, whether or not that tank needs to be upsized or if those laterals need to be extended to meet the requirements that Environmental Health has.
So currently that is where the laterals are at.
Yes.
So that may not need to do anything.
Correct. And that would that's on environmental health. I've been working with Margaret on this project, so she has an idea of what's going on, and she'll make her assessment, and with the condition that it will be met, whatever they decide is best to take place.
Other questions, board? Comments, Mr. Friend?
This is Andrew Friend. I'd just like to note that the reason maybe we would have to add the condition of the septic system is if we add an extra bedroom past the three that the system is already sized for, then we would have to potentially upsize the system. So if we go to an official four-bedroom house, then we'd have to look at increasing the size of the laterals or adding additional laterals, so that's where that condition comes from. On the south side, we didn't show you, but we're also, in addition to the northeast addition that we're discussing, there is a southeast addition, southwest addition that's not in the setback, so it's not part of the variance request. That would be an increased living room, so it would be, we already have a proposed addition for part of the south side that's a bigger living room, and then the northeast that is the subject of the variance would be the new two bedrooms and a first floor bathroom. So if we were to add on to the entire south side, it would go to the right of that proposed living room and include the deck, and so then the roof line would be a little strange drawing, or it wouldn't be possible.
This is a proposed drawing. Marcus can kind of point out what is what.
Go ahead, or are you
going to go? No, you're fine.
Okay,
you're fine.
So the master, the far top right, the master and that bedroom below are the new building, the new rooms that would be. Thank you. Okay, so this is the layout of the existing house. It kind of stops right here. So then we're adding this master bedroom and this new bedroom that can act as a nursery. And then this is converting the existing small bedroom into a bathroom and first floor laundry. So then when we were talking about it taking up an existing deck and concrete patio, that's where these are right now. It's a deck and concrete patio. And then we propose to add a living room that's not subject to the variance and connect it to with a deck to make the whole house kind of fit together. Architecturally. So that's the proposed layout. And we have considered adding on to the west, but we would have to move these laterals potentially to further west, which would be in a different soil type that is likely not capable of handling the septic system. It's a Webster clay type. So,
well, if we grant this variance, it's that deck. Are we granting that deck variance also, or does that fall under the regulation?
It would be in line with it. It wouldn't be extending from that setback at all. So it's part. You're granting that variance for that front line right here.
So the front line. So in other words, if we grant this, then that the deck would be approved also if he builds that.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have to come back to do the deck.
Right, right. Okay. We'll still do our...
Right.
Our stuff for
sure.
Zoning permits and all of that.
Sure.
That's still included. But it just means that that line, it will have to be in line right there.
Okay.
But part of what our discovery was to try to figure out if, because with our ordinance, if as long as he didn't encroach any further to that front yard setback, we could issue a zoning permit for it. But that's what we tried to figure out.
Sure. How old is the septic system that's in there right now?
2013 is prior to them purchasing the home. In 2013, this system was put in.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Friend or questions for staff? We'll close.
This drawing was provided by the applicant. We did a really good job.
Did a very nice job.
What was being proposed, yeah. So it really helped us to review.
I move that we select approve option two on variance 04-19 with the conditions.
I'll second. We have a motion out of Neubauer, a second out of Brecky. Roll call vote.
Neubauer.
Aye.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Start digging.
Yeah. Get a permit first.
Yeah, make sure you get your permits first. But yeah, go on.
Thank you.
I driven past your property and seen those flowers out front. Now I know why they grow so well. They're right between those laterals.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
Fertilizer.
Okay, any other items to come before the board?
Some updates. As you know, Lynn Scarlett resigned. We've started the wheels in motion through the Board of Supervisors staff in posting that position. It's a 90-day process, so we have probably 60 days left to go through that. But I think the hope is by December we'll have somebody recommended for appointment for the position.
Just a question.
Oh, sure.
Do we know Karen's position? Is she going to re-up? Or is she done at the end of the year?
She's indicated that she's not able or interested to continue serving on the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, if that's the case, and it's a 90-day procedure, get everything posted, do we dare post that sooner so that we can get someone in?
It just takes 90 days for our process. From the date it's posted, we have to wait 90 days to take applications mm-hmm. in. And then they go through an interview process right. with the Board of Supervisors, and then ultimately the Board of Supervisors makes a recommendation for
sure.
the position. So we've already started that posting
okay,
process.
Good. Very good.
And then I wanted to let you know that the court made a decision on the McKay property, the Brad Perkins commercial campground request, conditional use permit that was before the Board of Adjustment, and they found similar to the other two previous findings, and that was that the, you know, since the Board of Adjustment didn't have written findings of fact that they were making their decisions on, that it, I guess, nullifies the decision that was made by the Board of Adjustment. And so the county has taken a position that we have decided to appeal those first two decisions. I don't know that a decision has been made because this just came out last week, the judge's decision on the third challenge. And so I'll let you know what I hear about that. Questions?
So what do you do if that has, let's say we lose our appeal? What happens with the property or decisions, Mr. Perkins? The whole ball of wax.
Then all of that is null and void. All of the previous decisions that have been made by the Board of Adjustment would be null and void.
But
you recall that he came back a few months ago and resubmitted, provided really a new application for the bed and breakfast, downsized from 8 guest rooms to 4 guest rooms, and had, you know, one ADA compliant bedroom addition
right.
and decided not to submit for this special events venue building. And so that application was received, reviewed, and acted on by the Board of Adjustment.
Could he potentially reapply, and if the board documented the findings of fact, the same decision they reached the first time?
That I think that could be an option because now, as you know, as you're fully aware that you're taking action on written findings of fact that are being prepared by staff, which largely are made up of information that's in the staff report. We're taking information that was discussed by the Board of Adjustment, input that was provided from the general public, and providing that in that written document. But
along those same lines, I've noticed we received the finding of fact after we've seen the CUP the month before.
shouldn't we see the finding of fact at the same time we see the CUP? Because the finding of facts are what we base our decision on?
The findings of fact also captures what you guys talk about prior to the vote.
Okay.
So that's why that comes afterwards. So then there's a whole document that's all the application material, what you guys discussed, and then what your ultimate decision was.
Okay.
And then since these are public hearings, you have input from the general public, which needs to be a part of the record.
Okay.
And this is something that was advised by the attorneys who are working on these cases. That
do we need to
after.
Speak more about the reasoning behind our decisions?
That should be a part of a motion. You know, why you're making the motion that you're making. And I think, you know, simply, if you want to be brief, you can reference the information that's provided in the staff report. That should be a part of actions that you make, decisions that are being recommended.
Sure.
Any more questions on the court case? And then I don't know if the Board of Adjustment's aware, the Board of Supervisors approved for the planning development staff to start the process to obtain new software for permitting and development cases. So it will affect the general public, people at large. We'll have a system that's pretty comprehensive. We'll have all of the requests that we review, special projects that we're reviewing will be a part of this. It's called CitizenServe. It's a cloud-based system, and we're very, very excited to have that approved by the board, and we're going to be working on that. It was one of the projects that Stephanie worked on for several months, so I thank her for her assistance and input on that. And so there's going to be a pretty large, I think, outreach component on our part to educate the general public about how to use it, because I mean, you'll be able to download from your home the application, all your documents, pay for it, you know, from your office, from your home. You can still come in and do these things, but the idea is that we're trying to make things a system that's more streamlined and more convenient for the general public to use. So we're very excited about that. And then our intern, Gabriel Nelson, the Board of Supervisors approved our internship program. We had primarily a summer internship program. They provided support for an internship through the spring and fall semesters for like up to 15 hours. So we're happy to report that Mr. Nelson will be back to help our department. So.
Tomorrow.
He starts tomorrow.
Good.
So the streamlined system, will that also help on like digital files, or do you guys have to print a lot of that anyways?
It's supposed to be.
Ideally, we won't have to print as much because there's a lot just going through an application. There ends up being a lot that's printed. If I don't have to, it'll definitely be a great thing.
We are supposed to be a paperless office, a paperless building, but it's amazing how much paper we actually do have. We get a lot of PDFs, a lot of plans, construction drawings, and for me, I think it's hard to see it on the phones are a lot bigger these days than most people have, but it's supposed to help with that.
It seems like it would, because if I were an applicant, I could send everything to you in digital files.
Yeah. So we're working on getting some of our, information, our forms. We'll be working on our processes with the consultant. We don't have a date yet for implementation, but we're working with our IT department. It's the funding of it, and part of the administration is through our IT department. So we're very excited about it.
Has there been any update on the Hickory Grove case?
There was a challenge, and they lost. And so We are preparing a response to that decision and asking them to respond to get down to the numbers that our records show that they can have, which is the no more than the 34 units.
Two less than what they have now or something.
Yeah, we think they have around 37 or 38 units. Mm-hmm. And so we just had some discussions with our legal department, and we're working on a letter that will be going out this week to the property owner. Good. Any other questions? Stephanie, Marcus, any other thing to add?
Okay. We'll accept the motion to adjourn.
Move that we adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you.